Archaeologists at the University of Wyoming are putting out a call for help looking for a lost mammoth. How do you lose a 6-ton extinct animal that lived 13,000 years ago? Well, you find a few of its bones, but then lose track over the decades of exactly where they were found. But now some clues have come to the surface. Wyoming Public Radio's Melody Edwards sat down with the University of Wyoming anthropology professor Todd Surivel, the detective trying to put those clues together. His story starts on a drizzly day when field work on a dig near Douglas just wasn't going to happen.
It was raining and it wasn't a good time to set up camp, so we decided to take the students to the Pioneer Museum in town. It was my first visit to that museum, and in the museum, in one of the cases, they had some mammoth bones, a couple of front limb bones, the jaw or the mandible, and a couple of other teeth. And I was really intrigued. I mean, one, I love mammoths, I'm fascinated by them. And two, the first people in the New World, the people who I study, people who lived here at the end of the last ice age, hunted mammoths. So any mammoth that's found is not only an interest to paleontologists, but it's potentially of interest to archaeologists. In the display case, there was some signage that was interesting. It said the bones were donated by William Eastman. It said that the bones are found on Bedtick Creek. And it said that they were discovered by Dr. Bird from the American Museum of Natural History.
But then the Pioneer Museum found a letter in their archives from this other guy, an L.C. Bishop, claiming that he had found the bones 20 years earlier, back in 1938.
The signage in the display case didn't make sense. At least we didn't know what the Dr. Bird reference was. We knew there's a famous archaeologist who had worked at the American Museum at the time, named Junius Bird. So we reached out to them to ask if Junius Bird had ever been in Wyoming and excavated a mammoth. And actually they got back to us and gave us some documentation from 1938. And it was actually Junius Bird's brother, R.T. Bird, who came through the area and apparently looked at the site and decided that the rest of the mammoth had eroded away. That's not what Bishop said in his letter in 1958. He said that after they pulled out those bones, they caved over the bank to preserve it so it could be excavated later by professionals. And he said at the time there were several feet of vertebrae sticking out of the bank. So from what we can tell, the site sat from the 30s until the 50s. But the only other information we have about anybody going to the site was that the new director of the Pioneer Museum found a small brown paper bag with three bone fragments in it, and typed on that bag is a message saying that Bishop went out there with two companions named Vetter and Hildebrand in July of 1958 and removed a few bones. I assume they're going out to check on it to see if it was still there. Those bones were in the bag. And as far as we know, that's the last time anybody's actually went out to the site. Now, one question we have is the mammoth still there, right? It's certainly possible that they excavated the entire mammoth at the time, but if they did, where would it be? All we have are these three small bone fragments left in that bag. Another possibility is that erosion has since removed the animal.
Did in any of the places that where you were getting some of these letters and things, did anybody ever give any directions for where the place is approximately?
Yeah, actually we have a number of clues which are really interesting.
Clue number one. The sign in the museum that says it's near Bedtick Creek, a tributary of the North Platte near Douglas. But clue number two, in Bishop's letter, he also says he owned the land where he found the bones, and that it was in a cut bank near a distinctive rocky ridge.
It helps us to narrow down our options from somewhere in Wyoming to a very specific area. Except it's not that simple, of course, because the first thing we noticed was that the section that Bishop noted in his letter, he never actually owned. So there's a direct contradiction there. We wonder if Bishop made an error in describing the location of it and describing the section, but that would be unusual because he was the county surveyor. He knew his way around. So this summer, with the blessings of the landowners, who have been absolutely wonderful in this process, we went out and we started poking around in this draw, mostly doing something called augering, which means drilling holes down through the sediments to look at the stratigraphy, to try to figure out where we have sediments of the right age. Now, we know the age of the mammoth because we radiocarbon dated it. So when we went out this summer, we were trying to identify areas along that draw that have sediments of that age. And there are several stretches along that draw where we think we found sediments of the right age, but we won't know until we get radiocarbon dates.
So now Surivel says they've hit a dead end.
You know, Wyoming is a small community and a big social network. I feel like everybody knows everybody, at least at arm's length, you know. In particular, if your last name is Eastman or Bishop or Vetter or Hildebrand, and you know about a mammoth that was found south of Douglas in the late 1930s, or if you went to visit the site in 1958 and you have any memories whatsoever about that mammoth, the location it was found, anything at all, it would be useful. In archaeology, a lot of the most important sites aren't found by archaeologists. They're found by local people, ranchers, hunters, hikers, people who are out on the land. Nowadays, it's in vogue, this idea of crowdsourcing scientific problems, but archaeologists have been doing this forever. Many of the most important sites, archaeological sites in Wyoming, weren't found by archaeologists, but were found by members of the public, and by working together, I think, we can accomplish a lot more than simply professionals working alone.
That was UW anthropology professor Todd Surivel. We have photos and drone images of the area where they believe the bones must be, if that would help jog your memory. Find them at our website, wyomingpublicmedia.org. There you can also find Dr. Surivel's contact information. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Elodie Edwards.